Take your Bibles and turn to the book of 1 Peter this morning, please. The book, little book of 1 Peter and chapter number 2. 1 Peter and chapter number 2. The Word of God is rich. Chapter 2 opens with this word, wherefore. And that one word right there would tie it in to chapter number 1. We were trying to describe last week the reasons to rejoice, how that the word rejoice that's used twice in chapter number 1 comes from a Greek word that actually means literally to jump up and down with joy. The Lord's put it in my heart. He says, wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby. If so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I have these precious little babies in the auditorium this morning, and they're growing, and the reason they're growing is because they're eating the right thing. Amen. They've got something going into them that's nutritious. Something going into them to help them to mature. To help them to grow up into young men and young ladies. And I believe with all of my heart that God wants us to be putting something into us that'll help us spiritually to grow up into that young man and that young woman that God would have us to be for the glory of God. He said, if so be that you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. I want to look in chapter 2 today, and here's the way I want to approach it. It's the way the Lord gave it to me the other day. I didn't have my Bible open. I've been reading chapter 2 and studying chapter 2 and meditating on chapter 2, and I didn't have my Bible open. I couldn't organize it in my mind and in my heart, but the Lord, He gave me the thought, and then I went back and looked at it, and right there it is. In chapter number 1, we find the reasons to rejoice. In chapter number 2, we're going to find the reasons that folk don't rejoice. There's some reasons that folk are not rejoicing, not jumping up and down, not happy in the Lord. Amen. There's a difference between being happy in the world and being happy in the Lord. Those of you that are old-timers here, and you know what, how it used to be said common, Brother Joe, so-and-so got happy in the Lord this morning. Somebody got happy in the Lord while they're singing, or somebody got happy in the Lord in the choir. Somebody got happy in the Lord in the Sunday school class, or somebody got happy in the Lord in the prayer room. Amen. And there's some reasons laid out in chapter number 2 that we don't see more of that folk getting happy in the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord. We know that one of those words, rejoice, we told you last week, it comes from that word that means to jump up and down, to be exceeding glad. And that other one just means to be calmly happy, to be well off. In other words, there's times in our life, even though we may not even be physically up and down, amen, and rejoice on the inside. There's a happiness and a peace that passes all understanding. Let's pray and we'll get right into the chapter. Father, thank you in the name of Jesus now for the privilege, God, to look into the Word of God this morning. Lord, I pray this morning that you'd organize these thoughts in my heart and in my life, that I might share them, Lord, this morning, that they might carry the impact, Lord, that you would have them to. Father, I pray today, Lord, for those that are not rejoicing, our Father, in these days. I know, Lord, our hearts can get heavy. I know that we have burdens to bear. But I know this, Lord, you want your people to be a rejoicing people. Lord, if we're going to have strength, said the joy of the Lord is our strength. God, I pray that we would not be weak, but we would be strong. in the things of the Lord. And I pray, God, that you'd help us and bless us together today. In Jesus' precious name, amen and amen. I've got three things on my heart. I don't know how far we'll get this morning, but why do not people enjoy the joy of the Lord? And why do people fail to rejoice? I guess if I was going to title the message today, it would be some reasons people fail to rejoice in the Lord. The number one reason that I see in the chapter, I'm just giving it to you the way it's laid out in the chapter, is because there are some things that are not laid aside. The Word of God said here in chapter number 2 and verse number 1, wherefore laying aside. Somebody tell me the next word. All. All. The Bible said laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speaking. Someone said one time all means all, and that's all that all means. I believe with all of my heart this morning, one of the reasons that people are failing to rejoice is they're carrying some baggage, amen, that God doesn't want them to be carrying. I thought about Brother Brian. I didn't do it, but in my heart it was strong to get Maggie up here and just bring a backpack and just keep putting bricks in that backpack until she finally got to the place where she couldn't carry it. I mean, if she runs across this up here without a backpack, boy, she's going to go fast. You put one brick in it and she's going to go a little slower. You put two bricks in it and she's going to go a little slower. After a while, she wouldn't even get started. The backpack would pull her down to the ground. I want to just say this morning with a humble heart and a heavy heart, the reason some of God's people are not rejoicing is they've got some stuff in their backpack that needs to be unloaded. It needs to be laid aside, amen, that they might, we can't afford to be carrying envy. We can't afford to be carrying jealousy. We can't afford to be carrying bitterness. We can't afford to be carrying the things that are laid out here in the Word of God. If we're going to run the race that God wants us to run, there are some things that need to be laid aside. Look at verse number 1. He said, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and evil speakings. If you would, look at with me at verse number 11. He said, dearly beloved, I love that term. Peter's an old rough fisherman. Amen. But I tell you, God's got a hold of Peter's heart right here in this chapter. It's bothering him because God's people are not jumping up and down with joy, and they're not rejoicing the way that God wants them to. He said, dearly beloved, I beseech you. Another way to say that in our English language would say, I beg you. He said, as strangers and pilgrims, to abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul. How many knows Peter's telling it right there? Amen. The moment you get saved, by the grace of God, you realize there is a battle raging inside of you. There is a new man now, and there is an old man. There is a new master. The Lord has come into your heart and life. But the old master does not want to give up, and he wants to keep pulling at you. He wants to hinder you. He doesn't want you to have the joy of the Lord in your life. Because if you have the joy of the Lord in your life, somebody else will want it. That's what David said. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation and uphold me with thy free spirit. He said, then will I teach transgressors thy ways and sinners will be converted unto thee. So when the devil loses, when a man gets saved by the grace of God, the devil loses that man's soul and God has saved that man's soul. That man now is heaven bound with the hammer down. And so what the devil wants to do, if he can't have his soul, he wants his influence. He does not want that man or that woman to have any influence for the kingdom of God. So he begins at work at once to work in our hearts and in our lives to try to hinder, to try to deter, to try to get that malice and that guile and that hypocrisy and that envy and that evil speaking going on. Now let me say this morning. If this is being addressed to God's people, and it is, there's a reason it's being addressed to God's people. This is not being addressed to sinner folk. Amen. It's being addressed to the people of the living God. Take your Bibles and turn to Hebrews chapter number 12 for just a moment. In Hebrews chapter 12, I believe God's trying to help someone. In Hebrews chapter number 12 and verse number 1 and verse number 2, this is what Paul said. He said, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside." You see that phrase right there? Lay aside. Peter said, "Wherefore, laying aside." Then he used the word "all." And here in the book of Hebrews, he said, "Let us lay aside every." Now that word "every" would be just like the word "all." Let us lay aside all weights. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset. Somebody tell me that next word. This message is for us. It's not for them, amen. It's for us. It's not God telling the barroom crowd to lay some things aside. They're not going to lay it aside. They don't have the power to lay it aside. But you and I have Christ living in us, the hope of glory. And we can lay aside those things that are warring against our soul, that we might have the joy of the Lord in our heart and in our life, and be able to jump up and down once again and rejoice in the good things of God. Watch this now. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which does so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. These young people know what I'm talking about right here. Most moms and dads probably do as well. They have things called wrist weights. They have things called ankle weights. They actually have little strips of lead in them. And you can, maybe if you've been through some physical therapy somewhere along the way, you know what I mean? You could pick it up by itself. That's hard enough for us to do. Amen. But put a weight on it and try to pick it up. It's going to get stronger and it's going to get stronger. But here's the thing. When it comes race day, you don't see anybody in the starting block with the weight still on. Amen. They've laid aside the weight. They've laid aside those things that would hinder them. And as a matter of fact, my friend, they don't even want baggy clothing on them. They don't even want something that's going to catch the air. Amen. I think some of them could wear a little bit more. Hallelujah. Amen. You know what I mean. But I'm just telling you, my friend, listen, we're in a race as God's people. And God said there's some things that we need to lay aside. And that's one of the reasons, my friend, that we're not jumping up and down in the joy of the Lord. Watch this now. Look at verse number 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. I'm going to make a statement, and it's very, very sobering. Here's the statement. God put this in here in the order that it needed to be in here. Some of us have experienced this in our lives. We know, and we'll say amen right here, that while we were carrying the baggage, we were not looking unto Jesus. Amen. We liked it. We liked that brick in the backpack, and we held on to it. Amen. I'm going to get, there are men in prison today. I mean in prison, that are still holding on to revenge. They can't wait to get out. They can't wait to get even. And I'm telling you, my friend, they're not looking unto Jesus. How many knows I'm telling it right? Amen. But you know what's sad? There are people in the house of God today that have an unforgiving spirit. Are you listening to me? I tell you, I like what I read one time. It said to forgive is to set a prisoner free, only to realize that the prisoner was me. Amen. The Bible is instructing us. There's some reasons here that people fail to rejoice. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Turn with me, if you will, to the Bible in the book of Philippians, please. Chapter number 3. Let's look at a verse or two right here in chapter number 3. I'm telling you, they're the reason that many people are not rejoicing. And I mean God's people. I'm talking about genuine, born again Bible believers. You can take me to the place. You know when God wrote your name in the Lamb's Book of Life. You know you've been saved by the grace of God. But you know, my friend, that joy is a thing of the past. Rejoicing is a thing of the past. I'm telling you this morning, God wants to raise that rejoicing up in your heart. But the first thing you're going to have to do is lay some things aside. Just lay it over there out of the way. Get it out of the backpack. Get it out of your heart. Amen. And go on for the glory of God Almighty. Look what the Bible said in Philippians chapter number 3. I believe this will help us this morning. In the book of Philippians in chapter number 3. Listen to what the Apostle Paul tells the church here at Philippi, chapter 3 and verse number 13. He said, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended." Already in this message this morning, there may be somebody that has just kind of swelled up with a little bit of pride and said, "Well, that don't apply to me." Let me just say this to you. David, if he was sitting here this morning, he wouldn't be swelled up with pride. I tell you what David would be doing right now. He'd be saying, "Search me, O God, and try me, and see if there be any wicked way in me." He would be agreeing with Jeremiah. He'd say, "Lord, Jeremiah was right. The heart's deceitful and desperately wicked, and who can know it? Lord, let me bare my heart. Make it bare before thee this morning, and search me, and see if there's something in my life that needs to be laid aside for the glory of God Almighty." Look here. Philippians chapter number 3, he said, here's what Paul said. He said, "I count not myself to have apprehended." Let me just put that in East Tennessee vernacular so we can understand it right here. He's saying, "I'm not there yet. I'm still on my way. God's still working on me." Amen. I tell you, those in this room this morning that are walking with the Lord, they'd say the same thing. "I'm not there yet." And the closer I get to being there, the more I see that needs work in my life. Amen. And the Apostle Paul said, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." Listen, and reaching forth to those things which are before. You know, I believe in Paul's life, and that every time, my friend, he got up to preach, if you'll read the Bible, the Bible said there was a messenger of Satan that came to buffet him. Amen. There was something jumping out of the backpack every time the man of God stood up. He was thinking about the time when he persecuted the church of the living God. Amen. And he had to just learn to forget it and leave it back there where it belongs. And that's what you and I as God's people need to do. We need to learn to forget some things and leave it back there where it belongs, that we might go on for the glory of God Almighty. He said, "I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." Let me make a statement this morning. Listen, it's wonderful, for example, for pastor to be able to go back and tell you 27 years ago, this coming February, it'll be 28 years ago, when Jesus, we were singing the song, "Since Jesus came into my heart, when Jesus saved my life." There's nothing wrong with that. And that's a wonderful thing to be able to go back 28 years, amen, and tell you where I was and what was going on in my life and how God saves old sinners. That's a wonderful thing. But can I say something? There ought to be something going on in my heart and going on in my life last week. Amen. There ought to be something in my heart and in my life going on this morning that causes me to want to rejoice and jump for joy. You say, "Preacher, what are you trying to say?" I'm trying to say, listen, when we begin to carry that baggage, the longer we carry it, the heavier it gets. Amen. And my friend, it won't be too long until you'll just get used to the load and you'll think this is the way it has to be. But God said, lay aside some things. Amen. Lay aside. Lay aside. Lay aside. Was there ever a time in your life, listen to me carefully, when you love the Bible more than you love it right now? Was there ever a time in your life when you love the songs of Zion, you love the church, and you love to be at church, and you loved your family, you were more thankful than you are right now? Was there ever a time in your life when you loved to pray more than you do right now? Was there ever a time in your life, amen, when you loved to tell somebody else what Jesus has done for you and what Jesus means to you than right now? My friend, I'll tell you what's going on. If that is so, there's something in the backpack that don't belong in there. God wants you to unload it, amen, and get it out. Get it out. Get it out that you might be used for the glory of God. Take your Bibles this morning, if you will. Turn to the book of Colossians, chapter 3 and verse number 8 is where I want to read. There are some things that are not laid aside. That's the first reason that people fail to rejoice. Watch this now in Colossians chapter 3 and verse number 8. He said, But now ye also put off all these. Anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off. That's twice in two verses he says put off. The old man with his deeds. I say this morning, listen, I'll tell you it's a little joke. Because it illustrates perfectly what I'm trying to say right there. How many knows there's an old man still likes to hang around? And God said, put him off. Put him off. Amen. Forget those things which are behind. The little boy in a neighborhood had a lawnmower for sale. And a pastor moved into the neighborhood. And the pastor saw the lawnmower for sale. He didn't have anything to mow his grass. So he said to the little boy, he said, I see you have a lawnmower for sale. He said, why are you selling your mower? He said, because I want to buy a bike. And the pastor said, well, son, I've got a bike. You think we could trade? He said, maybe. I'll look at it. And so the pastor looked at the mower. He liked the mower. The boy looked at the bike. And he said, okay, preacher. He said, I think we can trade. But there's one thing you need to know before we trade. He said, the mower will not start unless you cuss it. And the pastor just blew it off. You know what I mean? He says, oh, son, that's okay. We'll trade. He just blew it off. Little boy the next day was riding his bike around the neighborhood, and the pastor was sweating profusely, pulling on the rope and pulling on the rope and pulling on the rope. And the little boy stopped and he said, preacher, I done told you, the mower will not start unless you cuss it. He said, son, I've been saved for 50 years. I done forgot how to cuss. Little boy looked at him and said, keep pulling, it'll come back to you. You can say whatever you want to, friend of mine. You can shine your halo if you want to. But that old man wants to come back. Amen. And sometimes he comes back in a rage and in a fury in our homes and in our hearts. And I've even seen it in the house of the living God. God said, lay it aside. Lay it aside. I'd love to see a day come, brother, when you couldn't sing a song like that, amen to God, without somebody hitting the floor and saying, let me praise him a minute. I want to thank him for what he's done in my heart and in my life. I'm going to tell you something right now. You can't work it up, and I don't want to see it worked up. But I tell you one thing right now, when real rejoicing takes place, everybody will know it's real. And it'll even scare a lost person when God's people. I can remember my grandmother used to shout, I don't know how many hairs I had on the back of my neck, but I knew they were all standing straight up. She was seeing something I'd never seen before. She had a hold of a holy God. And a holy God had a hold of her. She was willing to lay aside those things. How many believe Satan wants to hinder us? Talk about your home for just a minute. How many believe Satan wants to hinder your home? God help us. I mean, there's so many families that have teenagers and so many families that have children and so many families that have grandchildren. I'm telling you, God wants to hinder every family in this place. Are you listening to me? He wants to hinder the church. I'm sorry, God's enemy, the devil, wants to hinder, and God wants us to be sure to lay aside those things that would hinder the cause of Christ and the work that God would have us to live, and the rejoicing that He would have us to have in our heart. Notice this. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 for just a moment. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. Listen to what the Word of God said right here. I'm trying to get on, and we will. 1 Corinthians chapter number 9. There's some things that are not laid aside, and it's hindering God's people from rejoicing, from jumping up and down with joy in the things of God. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse number 24. Listen to what the Bible said. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? I can't read that without thinking about Brother Lonnie that went home to be with Jesus last night. You know what his son said, Brother Ralph? It reminded me of Brother Jack. Here's what his son said last night. He said, my daddy loved Jesus. He said, my daddy loved the church. I say hallelujah. Amen. What a testimony to leave this world. And your son knows. And both of his sons teach Sunday school in the church and do a wonderful job, Brother Brian, a wonderful job teaching the Word of God to the people of God. I say, what a testimony to leave out of here and somebody could say he loved his Savior and he loved the saints of God. He loved the church. Amen. Oh, a friend of mine, he's fought a good fight. He finished his course. He kept the faith. The Bible said, they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize. So run that you may obtain. The Lord just gave me something. That's scripture against what this modernism's wanting to do. They don't want anybody to win. They just want to give everybody a trophy and everybody a ribbon. Let me tell you something right now. Hard work will pay off. Say amen. And the Bible said right there, amen. The Bible said that there's one going to receive the prize. I'll tell you right now. We ought to so run that we may obtain. You know what I believe? I believe God's people can cross the finish line and hear their Father say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'd hate to cross the finish line, Brother Grizzle, with some kind of knapsack on my back full of envy and bitterness, jealousy, strife, backbiting and whispering. How many's with me this morning? Wouldn't that be a shame, amen, to think about crossing the finish line carrying a knapsack like that? I'll tell you right now, the Bible's telling us there's some things that need to be laid aside. Let me give you this and I'm done. There's some things that just do not belong. Number one, in a spiritual house. Look at verse number 5. Let's go back over to 1 Peter chapter number 2. In a spiritual house, there's some things that do not belong. He said, ye then as lively stones or living stones are built up a spiritual house, a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. If you look down in the first part of chapter number 9, or verse number 9 in chapter 2, he said, ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. I thought about this. There's some things that just don't belong in a spiritual house. Amen. I can make that statement. I don't have to preach anything else. If there's something in your house that don't belong there, God already spoke to your heart about it. That's a good God, isn't it? Amen. That would point out something that don't belong. You say, preacher, you got any examples of that in the scripture? I do. Achan. God told him not to take the silver, not to take But what did he do? He took the silver and he took the Babylonian garment and he buried it in his tent. Can I tell you something? Listen to me, friend. There's coming a day when that which is buried is going to be dug up. I mean, there are no secrets with God. Say amen right there. I'm telling you, God is saying, hey, if there's a spiritual house, that house needs to be clean and that house needs to be holy. And we need to just get rid, lay aside anything in that house that would not be pleasing in His sight. Secondly, not only a spiritual house, there's some things that do not belong, but there's some things that do not belong in a spiritual heart. Look what the Bible said in verse 10. Which in times past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. Now this is speaking in a general sense of the Gentiles. There was a time when we were considered to be dogs. We were not even a people. But hallelujah, the day came when our Savior grafted us in. Gave us an opportunity, amen, to be saved by the grace of God. Peter's a good one to be writing about that. He had to learn that the hard way, didn't he? Amen. He learned that down at the house of Cornelius when God sent him down there. Said, Peter, don't you call anything that I've made common or unclean. Amen. Now watch. He said in verse 11, dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lust, which war against the soul. You say, preacher, what's going on here? The Bible said, those that are walking by faith. This is in Hebrews chapter number 11. They which say such things declare plainly that they're strangers and they're pilgrims on the earth. How many believes this old world is getting stranger every day? Every day. I mean, God help a society that wants to kiss the dogs and kill the babies. God help a society that don't want men on one bathroom door and women on another bathroom door. God help a society that says, well, it don't really matter if 2 + 2 = 4 anymore. What really matters is how you got the answer. How many knows I'm preaching right there? No absolutes in morality, and now you don't even have any absolutes in math. Won't you let that outfit do your checkbook? Say amen right there. That's crazy. And God's people ought to be feeling stranger and stranger every day. Pilgrims. I don't know about you. I love what I'm doing. By the way, my grandson told his mommy last week that's what he wants to do when he grows up. Lucas said to his mommy, to Megan last week, that's my son's boy, said, Mommy, when I grow up, I want to be a preacher. She said, why, Lucas? He said, that way I only have to work one day a week. Hey, can we take that up around Bible Way? I wouldn't mind that job, amen. Just being able to work one day a week, I think that'd be awesome. Amen. Amen. He might change his mind. Mommy told him, said, honey, it don't quite work like that. I was pastoring my first church over in Wise, Brother Mike, and a fellow said, where do you work, preacher? I said, I'm the pastor of the Hurricane Baptist Church. He said, I know that, but where do you work? You'll get that after a while. Amen. If you start saying that around here, I'll have you in my hip pocket for about a week and you'll know where I work. Amen. God bless you. Amen. Listen. Could it be the reason you don't jump up and down with joy the way you used to? The old devil, the old flesh, the whole world. You know, I'm going to make a statement this morning. Listen, I have a television now. I have one. We got one, I think. Miss Eve, what now? when the girls were in high school, so about 8 to 10 years ago, something like that. Okay, what now? 12 was before I went with Rock of Ages. Well, anyway, it hadn't been too many years ago. We didn't have a TV. We didn't have one. Now, I'm going to make a statement. You'll get mad at me right here, but maybe not so mad. Looking back, I was better off without it. I'm just being honest. If we ever had a heaven sent Holy Ghost, Brother Anthony, revival, they might be all kinds of things that God's people just lay to the side. Say, I want Him. And Him alone. Amen. I'm glad I could say that like that this morning. That way you know that I'm not some holy Joe and I'm not fussing at you. Amen. I'm not doing that. I will say this. That HBO don't have it, but it should have never been a home box office. I believe hell's box office would be a lot closer to what it really is. Say amen. And you can get it anywhere now. You can carry it around on your phone. You say, what in the world's going on? I tell you what's going on. There's a society that wants to desensitize you and I. That wants us, Brother Brian, to be like this with our backpack and not even know it. Amen. Dragging it around and don't even know it. Don't even know it. And I say this, God wants us to rejoice. To rejoice. Rejoice in the Lord always. Amen. And again, I say, rejoice. Father in heaven, thank you this morning for the privilege to stand. Preach the Word of God. Lord, I know not only do people not rejoice because there's something that needs to be laid aside, but some don't rejoice, Lord, because there's someone that's not living inside. They don't rejoice because Jesus has never been their Savior, never been their Lord. God, I know this morning, Lord, that You look from heaven, You see every heart, You see every life, You see our homes, You see the house of God. Lord, I believe it would shock us at times, the things that go on even among God's people. Things that are said, things that are thought, things that are looked at, things that are listened to. And Lord, looking at this text and this chapter, it's no wonder. It's no wonder that the enemy, Lord, wants to keep us with a backpack full of that does not belong in the heart and life of the child of God. He don't want us to rejoice. If we rejoice on Sunday and Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and Friday and Saturday, somebody else will see Jesus living in our life. Somebody else will want what we have. God, I pray this morning, Lord, if there's someone in our midst that needs to lay something aside, that they lay their pride aside first, that they might, Lord, bring it to an old-fashioned altar and lay it at the feet of Jesus. It could be something, Lord, as simple and destructive as jealousy or envy. Lord, I pray this morning that whatever it is, Lord, it would be removed. I pray, God, You speak to the heart of that individual that's not saved. I pray, God, this morning that You'd help us to be honest before God.